So the first chapter of Ratzinger, you need to read it. First five chapters. Print it out if you need to. So this is Anselm's text is short, so you should be able to do that. So it's five chapters, but it's two pages. So don't. I know. Well, I know everything as a teacher. I've got access, and I've seen that you very often. The click on the document called preparation for exam, but we haven't got to the exam, but you've got to do your reading and you've got to read Ratzinger's first chapter. It's from book, Ratzinger's former Pope, Introduction to Christianity. Whether you do it in Estonian, Russian or English, you all read the same text. And there are questions in the syllabus. When you read, look at the questions as well in your syllabus. And I'm going to ask those in Zoom and those in class, what do you think, what you found? I'm going to go Terli's name, and Terli must be able to say something, and Paul must be able to say something. Margaret,
I will be calling you by name. You are ready for it on Thursday, right?
Yeah, ready.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. That will be most difficult, but nothing terrible.
Okay. Yeah, you manage. One chapter from Ratzinger and all of Anselm, which is two pages only. Look. Now we go on talking about experience.
So
if you're in English, you read them.
It's an excellent book.
That's a good book. I don't see what this called it. It's a really good. And those Estonians or Russians who can practicing Christian doctrine, L.B. Jones. She is a doctor. She is a professor in Princeton University, and she writes it really well. And what she says about experience in theology, that the experience should be the source of theology, is very controversial. And sometimes it seems like experience is individualistic, subjective, and even sinful. Yes, it can be individualistic, subjective, and sinful. And yet, experience is something that helps us to make choices, find what is good for us. And we ask, what is that? Have you got any experience with this hairdresser? You want to go to the good? Yes, 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 she did a good job on me. Have you got an experience with this doctor? Does this doctor has experience with these kind of diseases? We trust people's experiences, but it can definitely be subjective. And there are many dangers lurking around. For example, some people have an experience with male teachers, very bad. Sometimes in the school, there was a very bad gym teacher at school. Everybody was afraid of them. And later on, you are afraid with all male teachers, or they had a very bad experience with your dad, and you suffer the rest of your life because of what you experienced as childhood. So it's subjective, it's individual, and we can't build any doctrines on it. So any teachings and doctrines can't be built on experience alone. But the role of experience in Christian life, for example, is, okay, we need to know God, we need the experience of God, but we can't prove it, and we cannot prove what you feel or you do not feel. People sometimes overemphasize experiences, or they claim that they claim experience that they actually don't have. So it is a dangerous ground. There have been philosophers like Feuerbach in the 19th century thought that everything we know about God is that is actually factual. Fact we talk about ourselves, that God is like man, and we project all our feelings to God and describe God through these our own projection. This is the existentialist philosophy, existential school of philosophy, that God is, we ascribe to God our feelings, what we feel about him. But the danger is, and if we know God only by experience, then we actually know only ourselves. But during Reformation, it seemed that God, the Church became rational, and as a thanks to Reformation, we had Pietism, one Pietistic. Pietist philosopher Spener, Felix Jakob Spener, a German theologian, focused his teaching on the transforming work of the Holy Spirit as a counterbalance to this dry rationalism that became prevalent after the Reformation. So it's swung to the other end again. Said that we shouldn't be hearing only with our ears the word, but we have to allow it to penetrate, to take root in our heart, so that we would hear the voice of God, which is comforting, and it assures us through the power of the word. So what we hear is not only a teaching, it's something that touches our heart, that makes us, you know, burning for God, and it gives us passion. And for the world, people who look at the religious people say, well, look at these are the people going to. But there are people who go to church, but these are the believers, so these are the. There's a derogatory term for, so basically, say it's fanatics. Some people go to church, but he became a fanatic, basically. So these are the people say that these are the people who believe with all their from all their heart, but sort of, you know, the mad Christians or. The founder, John Wesley, probably you're going to hear about Wesley. He was an Anglican priest and served God in all possible ways, but he never experienced the full forgiveness of sins, and he felt that he has to do more. And he was preaching, and nobody converted, and he went to America, and he was not successful. He actually considered himself a failure, but one day, in London, on the prayers, on Aldersgate Street in London, how his, it was a Moravian meeting house, and he said, my heart was strangely warm, that I felt that God had removed my sin, even mine. So, one thing that, you know, that Jesus died on Good Friday, and he was raised on the third day. But actually, when you are truly able to say his died for my sin and he has made me righteous and he is my king. That's a personal dimension of faith. For Wesley, it was such a life-changing experience. And he says that you can't live a Christian life without having that. And believe that the Christians going to church have to become believers. They have to experience the salvation. That cultural Christianity or going to church for the sake of going to church is not enough. It has to be something that changes your life. John Wesley later on explains the power of God that works through faith in everyone's experience. John Wesley says, let every true Christian say, in these things I'm sure, experience it in my own heart. But Christian doctrine was promised through doctors has been accomplished in my own soul. But the Christianity talks about in doctrine has touched my soul. This is what Wesley writes in his diaries. Therefore, when we talk about John Wesley, he emphasizes the experience, but at the same time, the church's authority is not based on our experience, but first of all, Bible and tradition, reason and experience. I looked for the word emotion in his letters, and I'm going to share one episode from his life. I just made a search from John Wesley's letters when he talks about experience. And I found an interesting letter to his cousin. Charles Wesley was a great hymn writer, church musician, and Charles's son, so his nephew, Samuel Wesley. He became a famous musician as well. He was called the Mozart of England, but John Wesley, so is not a dear Sammy. Okay. You've been very dear to me, especially when you were small, and very often thought that I'm gonna write to you openly, being honestly. And I want to talk about these things in love, and please receive in love, and does not do any good, and at least it doesn't do any evil. Many years ago, I watched how gifted you are in music. God has given quick minds, and you are a quick learner. You've reached far. And you have the desire to be a Christian. You had the desire to be a Christian. But I've been distraught that you are not following the right path. I'm not considering an opinion whether Protestant or Catholic or any other faith, but in most important things, both the Protestant and the Catholics can perish. But I'm afraid if you are not born again, through the Son of God, you will not be able to see the kingdom of God. If you do not experience the inward change that the Christ brings into your life, if you have not understood the biblical doctrine of new birth and experienced it, then what your father and me have tried to teach you are all in vain. whether you visit one or another church, doesn't matter. You can both saved in both of them, or you can go to hell in both of them. If you are not born again, and if you will not be born, you will not see the kingdom of God. Whether it's in the, be it in the Anglican or Roman church or Protestant church, whether it is in Bellarmine or Luther, you are wrong if you are not born of the Spirit, renewed by the Spirit in the image of the Lord, your Creator. Oh, Sammy, you are mistaken. You are lost. You haven't given him your own heart. Sammy has asked all religious questions about doctrines, probably disputed whether which church is right, whether Catholics or Anglicans, and Wesley at the end of that said, I do not want to talk to you about, just give your life to God. And then we can talk whether the transsuccession or purgatory and other doctrines that you want to discuss. So Wesley said, you have to experience that inward change. If that hasn't happened, then you are not benefiting anything of your faith. In some other places where John Wesley actually describes how people experience the Holy Spirit. That's why he's called the grandfather of the Pentecostals. Yeah? So how it describes how people actually used to write each other's experiences in the letters. So sharing experiences is important for early Methodists. But what to do with these preachers that make you feel, they shout very loud voice and they're very emotional. So emotions can be careful, they are subjective, they can be manipulative. If you say anything with great passion and emotion, people start to believe it. My husband Douglas says that preachers have one rule, not more, but one of those rules, but it's a rule for survival. If you feel, then you have to do 52 sermons, then you can't do them all the best you can. And the rule is, if you've got a bad sermon, put more emotions. So you know you are not well prepared. You just could not. You do have such, but say it convincingly. Somebody will believe. Think about these sermons when somebody was very convincing. Maybe that was one of these sermons the pastor thought, like maybe that himself didn't think much, but he put a lot of emotion. Just okay, you can find good things said without emotions, said quietly. Some good, some of the best authors were writers were not good speakers. Be careful who speak very many passages and expect that after you would do exactly what say that what you said. Give me money and God will bless you. So be careful. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul talks about
Et et see on nagu huvitav. Ma lihtsalt mõtlesin mõned näited ka selle kohta, kuidas
I looked at, but we've got several, that's many African students, but I always say that they've had many problems with self-made prophets, and that they are somebody or apostles or prophets of apostles, and people just blindly go after them. They believe that their problems will solve if they make a donation to that prophet or and some very strange free teachings. Sometimes they promise easy solutions for very serious. If somebody offers a simple solution to very difficult problems, then our first question is, why we still have these problems when the solution is so easy? If some a witch gives you a crystal and carry it in your pocket, and the family violence will stop, or use this mantra and you will stop, you will be able to quit smoking. Simple solutions, but people look for these simple magic or semi-magic solutions. Have you how many new Kazisans? Are there in Tallinn. They demolish some and build new ones and bigger ones, and lot of gambling. More, less now in casinos, more behind the community sort of betting people, sort of betting offices. Actually, and they want to get the quick, easy money. But this is one of to solve your big problems with simple solutions, which actually doesn't give you a solution. One experience, another. How hard it is to with experience how we know what is what, how do we know what is what?
Selle pannud kaks korda, okei, aga las ta siis olla see. Nüüd on mul vaja panna.
More than just an hour. When my dad asked how long I was up in heaven, for some weird reason I said 3 minutes when I got to see the past when my dad played with Pop, the present where I got to see my dad preach, and them in the and my dad in his separate room giving his little prayer to God, and then the future, which is when the Armageddon is to happen. Let's talk about that for a second. Did you realize that you were seeing, and tell me what you learned about Armageddon or about this battle? Well, the battle was with Jesus, the angels, and the good people going against Satan, the monsters, and the bad people. They were fighting, and in the end, Jesus does win, and the Armageddon. Over, but it has a long did you see it happening? And did you see your dad fighting?
Yes, I got to see it happening, and I got to see my dad in the battle.
Did you understand what was going on, or was it just like a movie?
I understood what was going on because, well, I was up there for a while, so you figure out what's going on after a while.
So what is this? Well, what is the context of this interview?
Yeah, this is Colin Burpo.
This interview with Colin Burpo. Is the author, he said this, heaven is for real. Heaven is for real. And Hollywood film is, Hollywood has made a film according to many people have seen it and read the book. It became very popular, kind of this heaven goers, heaven tourism. Many people who saw Jesus have seen this and this kind of heaven tourism, heaven trips to heaven. Then in when Christian theology books start to buy them, it's a good sign that there is a false teaching going around. These books are popular, but their theological value is rather doubtful. Do we need to know anything about it? So if you want to know something about heaven, then read the Bible. During the surgery, the boy then actually he experienced something. And there the boy who came back to visit another story, Malachi. Malachi said that his father forced him to write, and that they claimed that he was in heaven. It was the book was written by the parents. They cashed a lot of money. Actually, he was in wheelchair. It was cover the cost, but it found that it was wrong to even if it's a positive, but it's better people believe in Jesus. Then the foundation is shaky. When the child says that my dad has to told me to write it and to talk about it, and that was and the Colin Burpo's story was a true story or not, but very often, well, there's people have to produce copycats, you know. Okay, that's popular. Let's talk about another heaven experience. Religion is a great market. You can sell these experience and cash a lot, you know. What do you buy? Books we buy, what we believe for theology. That's why we are in the seminary. The same happens in medical. That helps with baldness. My husband has tried it all. Does not help. But yes, yeah. And listen to your doctor. When if it would work, then would probably people be, there wouldn't be any bald people among us. So experience. So experience is good and needed, but I'll take it with a pinch of salt. Well, sometimes we need to. Victoria, online.
What did you learn today that was worth learning? For you personally,
translating her own question, what was your something that you learned today? Yeah.
Victoria, Paul,
or Paul or somebody else on Zoom, was there something that you learned today?
Pahta, riti, või saalusta.
Victoria is asking, which Victoria? We are two Victorias.
Oh, did I not? Yeah.
Okay, you, Victoria Januszewski. I have underlined several things. I'm still thinking about. I like your personal witness because I didn't understand what is the Methodist Church seminary church is, and then you say talked about your own experience, and then I thought, well, I wasn't the only strange one, I don't know what was. I have to look through my notes. I think this is there's no. About the tradition. That tradition is. About tradition, I didn't think that there are different churches and different traditions. I do not have the experience of. I have not visited many churches, but I understand. That I need to visit other churches and to get that experience, that I have to understand how others do. You like go and be a guest in another family, and how they do. What we learn from them, or some. And I think in Israel we have. We've got good relationships with other churches. My own church, that we are with our churches, our churches are people from the former Soviet Union, and we've got different people from different church backgrounds that we have to discuss traditions. So there are different understandings, that there are discussions, what is right, how we do things. But then today I started to look at it from different angle, and yet that how we try to blend everything together, that really spirit warmed our hearts. That we have created our own traditions in Israel, that we had to give up our own. Thank you. And also we have to learn from that. It's hardest thing to notice what is missing. I've got, when I had smaller kids, and they are here, and then they go out, and you put a new thing here, and get the children, let them back, and they notice the new thing. But you take one thing away, how long you notice that something is missing. And again, something that we have to learn to see what is missing. In the prayer in Lutheran Church, they always pray about forgiveness of sins. In our church, we do not pray so much. We talk about sanctification. Maybe we should seek forgiveness for our sins. Then we so to become holy is you have to repent. So different emphasis is something that we learn from other churches that reminds us. For you visit another family, okay, it's very good to have visit other churches, like visiting another family.
Paul, I promise to give you a word too.
Paul, have you got anything to say?
You've been so quiet this entire day. That is a really amazing job. But say something. What did you learn today?
Put your microphone in. You didn't hear her original sound probably. That she wants to know opinion, what you learned today. So, anything to share? Just put on your mic and share. Paul, that's to you. We can't hear you. We cannot hear you. Put on your mic. So it seems like there are technical issues. We can't hear you.
Okay, well, because Evgeny.
Okay, sorry, we couldn't hear Paul. Evgeny as well. Could you share what you've learned today?
Microphone.
But you have to. Okay. I think everything that we said, it's actually very relevant. Or have people follow their traditions? That you will go to a place that about to talk about their believing in Christ, and they say that. But we are the Orthodox people. We go to church. How often do you go? Well, once during the Easter, always during the Easter. So once a year. But they know their tradition, they know they have to go to church at least once a year, and they say that we have everything we need, we go and put that candle, and that they don't want to know more, that you actually have to accept more about Christ. That the church feasts, what they actually mean, and they do not know very often. Okay, four things: Bible, tradition, reason, and experience. But the Bible is at the top. Please read Ratzinger.